Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello, and we are so glad that you can join us today. We've got wonderful, wonderful information for you. And we're going to have Rogier ask some questions, and I'm going to answer them. And that way we cover a lot of things that you have asked us and send us on our email list. We are always glad when our email family grows. So sign up on www.spiritualjourneys.com. Rogier, welcome, and thank you so much for the time you take to help us with this. And just please lead us anywhere you want to with the questions today.
All right. Well, I think in one of the previous shows, you may or may not have touched upon this when we were discussing the five dictators, but I wanted to ask a question that was posted about what the relationship is between the left brain and illusion.
Okay. Okay, the relationship between left brain and illusion, that's a very, very good question. Because illusion forms. Well, we possibly ought to start by defining what we mean by illusion. That would be a good place, so we're all on the same page when we answer this. Illusion can take several forms, my beloved brothers and sisters. Illusion can be what the majority of people out there are functioning under, which means that they still believe reality to be in an old way when it, in fact, has changed. So when we hold on to old patterns that are totally obsolete, in a way, that really could be called illusion. So that's one definition. Another definition is that when we see only the surface value of something, when we take something at surface face value, at that point, it's illusion. Then the third thing can be, illusion can stand for that which the infinite is not. In the true sense, that is perhaps the most accurate definition for illusion. But it's best that we make absolutely sure that everybody's on the same page with how we use the word illusion. So let's take a look at left brain in the context of each of these. When changes are non-physical, when they are subtle and in the etheric, and there is no way that left brain in its own place and of its own self is going to be able to access that those changes have come. It's the heart that has to tell us that there are subtle feelings afoot. Let's say somebody's in a relationship and there's a cooling off of the other person, or there's a movement in the opposite direction. Instead of more union, there's going to be more diversity or something. It's not something you can put your finger on because there's no real acts that that person has performed yet, but you can feel the current under the surface change. That's an example of where if the brain said to you, this person has done nothing, there is not one act that says that, so therefore it isn't true because it's not something that I can prove. That would be a way of having illusion. It would take it namely at face value. It would see only the appearances. Secondly, if the pattern has changes, it needs to assess them through the heart. So that's an illustration of the first two ways in which we use illusion. And then the third way in which illusion and left brain could have a correlation is when there are things that the infinite is not. let's take a look at fear. To fear another, my brothers and sisters, your heart will tell you is to fear yourself. Because you are a being as vast as the cosmos, having this human experience, so is the other person. That you're both a consciousness intertwined in one place over all the cosmos. You're one. So, if you are seeing things as separate, you are seeing things that are not. Because the separation that left brain sees is what Mother, the infinite being, is not. She's in self-sustaining oneness with Father. That means that they alternate between receptivity and proactivity of the heart and of the mind. They're in one heart, one mind. They form a unified field. It's a very special way for them to be. But they're in oneness. You know, but the mind, if it's left brain mind, wants to separate out because it's still functioning according to the old way of being where its function is analysis. And so for that reason, it needs this separation, which the infinite is not. So as the third way, yes, it very definitely is contrary to what is. So it has a very strong relationship with illusion.
Okay. Was there no more to say on that?
Well, there
I do have a question, but you stopped
actually,
kind of abruptly.
I'm feeling that, well, that the reason that kind of ended abruptly is I'm feeling as though Mother wishes to say something. So I keep having this feeling, but I haven't heard anything, so I'm listening while I'm talking. So just, excuse me, just bear with me 1 second. Okay, Mother is saying, Ishtyach kaba ukihiyena as, ushmachsta vivishpa'ata. She says, this is a most great and glorious day. In this day, the function of analysis and left brain altogether is done away with as something separate from feeling. So, I'm asking Mother, I thought that was already done and it was already in the book. So Mother is saying, Ishkiach ma kuyi avashkata ishnavivi pespiakya unushtava esvishkiata anas. She said that this is the day that oneness forms in the truest sense of the word. It is the day that she is forming oneness with the Father. It is the day that the building blocks of life are pulling into one magnificent building block of life. She is saying that this is the day that there will be a heart mind, no longer a mind and a heart mind. And it is preparing the way for a new way of relationship to take place between herself and the Father, between them and all creation. That is what Mother is saying. So it's like it's the, not quite understanding. Heart mind means what? Tishkiyaka unisvete. Tishkiyaku uni ichiahaye ikihima ushayita vasa. She said that the heart and the mind will function in future from this moment on, is what she's saying. It will function as a unified field. Knowingness will come through all channels instantaneously, and it will be known throughout the entire body, by all parts of the body. So mind is changing this day. Okay, well, no wonder she wanted to say this. There's more, though, that I can feel coming, so just please bear with me.
All right.
Ipivikyach mashkutuvanach. She says it is time for a new language to begin. So she's saying that from this point on, mother's language shall be different. And she said that all languages are equally valid, that when a language is spoken in any of mother's languages, it is the highest form of white magic, in that it is pure intent manifesting for the good of the whole. But she says that when she speaks a new language, all changes within the cosmos. And my brothers and sisters, this is interesting because in the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, in its second section, it speaks about how the huge descension went so far nobody could even have imagined it, and it was Mother speaking a new language that changed the course of it. So, let me just see if she will tell us. Mother is saying that it's a language that is one with the Father's language, and that as these two languages come together, that the cosmos will lose the illusion of the old matrix in our separation consciousness in which we have existed. Tirikna urakne erester harut blut spavat minhur spavet.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer in the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We had technical difficulties, which is not unusual when we're working with the mother because of the high energies involved, my brothers and sisters. But what I will do is I will give you the translation of the piece of her new language that you did not hear. And the translation says, "And the children shall hear my voice, and the veils shall be lifted from their eyes, and they shall know truth before those who are grown will let go of that which is old. The children themselves shall embrace the new. And the little ones shall place this information in the grid or the field of humanity. And they shall swing the tide, or they shall turn the tide." That is what part of what Mother said. So, Ruchir, we will, you know, whatever else you want to ask.
Well, what I was actually wondering is how this new language relates to what I believe came through in Kennewick in Washington when we were there, because wasn't there already this new
hybrid language? Yes, there was. Very well done. Thank you very much. We should bring this up. There was a new hybrid language between mother and father, and in Kennewick, Washington, which I think was at the end of May, that came through. The point of the matter is, father was at a lower level, life was at a lower level, and father and mother's relationship at that time was different. And the relationship changed today. And there are many more secrets about this very holy day, as Mother called it, my brothers and sisters, because today is the day that Mother carries back to the very beginning of creation, higher and new codes of existence. The reason that she does it that way is that if she implements it right now, suddenly everybody will be undergoing massive and huge changes. Life will really have a difficult time functioning. But if she takes it back to the beginning of our creation, it has happened in the far distant, quote, past, if you will. I know that linear time doesn't exist, but the change happens in the moment before we are created, not during our creation. It makes change come so effortlessly that we hardly notice that it's there. So, because new codes are being carried back to before the formation of the Father, Father is brand new, and all of creation is brand new. The only things that would not change is the throne and the libraries and the scepters and Mother's crown that you can see a photo of in the book, Aruba Ferina, Book of Fairy Magic, because they were bringing back the stones for the crown with the codes in it. And we just recently photographed more stones coming in. My brothers and sisters, that book is in real time. If you look at that crown today and look at it in 6 months, you will notice that it has changed. It may even have more stones in it. So those are the only things that didn't change today. The language that is coming in today is brand new language because Father has changed and so has his language. So that's why that is there. Thank you very much for pointing that out.
But sorry, his language changes and then this fused language changes as well.
Yes.
Okay, well, I was actually thinking earlier with the question about the left brain and illusion, mean to ask you about the relation between God the Father and, well, I don't want to say illusion, but there was this thing about representing that which is not, right, in relation to the mother.
Yes. Now, let's go through this really carefully, because some parts of this is so deeply esoteric that the best place for me to talk about it would be on that website, what do you call it, the YouTube channel, where we only have...
The Way of the Goddess, you mean.
Okay. Well, I don't know where it is, but the point of the matter is that...
Well, it's on Google Video, but since people have to sign up for it, it doesn't really matter. It's not a place to go to.
Well, it's a place to go to once they've read one of the books, because of the point that then they're familiar with the terms that I use. Otherwise, I have to keep defining terms, and it slows me down. So the deeper information is over there. Parts of this I don't want to try and explain over the phone or on a radio show like this, simply because of the fact that there is so much background information needed that it's really a class by itself. But if we go into this very carefully, father role-played things that mother needed to see. That doesn't mean that he is illusion. It means that she created him and he played a role at times so that she would see. Let us say that she needed, because I've watched this now since August of last year. So, let us say, let us say that there is more representation needed in a specific kingdom. For instance, the big changes have come to the Mer kingdom. So let's say that there are changes needed in the Mer kingdom. Or let's say, well, let's take that. You know, father might want to expand. He may want more room for himself. It's telling mother that there's something that she hasn't done. It doesn't mean that father has illusion in his being. It means he's role-playing something she needs to get. So let's say, for instance, we had a situation where there were all these beings that were trapped under the floor of the ocean. Apparently they went in there when polar caps melted and there was some sort of a big flood in the past. In fact, the ancient records say that the South Pole's ice cap didn't melt. It actually slipped off the landmass. It slipped right off into the ocean. So the point is that let's say Mother has to release these beings that found a way to go into the crust of the earth prior to these things happening from the bottom of the earth, of the ocean. Father may then role play something that needs to be released. You know, he may want to release his singing voice or his talents in a certain way. I'm just giving a silly example now, but he may want to do something and mother is going, wait a minute, there's something here that needs to be released. So that's the one way in which father has played that which isn't, that which has been overlooked. So then there's another way that he did it, and this was during the very, very dark levels of descension. Father made himself a channel to mother, because mother was in such a state of forgetfulness, because she went deep in to go and get her children out of this descension, that she was in such a state of forgetfulness that they did not have access to mother. But father always has had access to mother. And so father would make himself a channel for the cosmic pleas, voices, needs, etc. to come through him so mother can access it. That meant that he really withdrew his own personality to a very large extent to the outer peripheral edges of his awareness. And he made himself like a hollow tunnel. It was a tremendous act of love. So, my brothers and sisters, in this way, Father has helped evolve life in many different ways.
And how? But how does this relate to, you know, which may be too deeply esoteric as well, but I think we seem to be doing a good job, but how does this relate to the this issue of the left brain director that you were speaking of recently?
Yes, the left brain director. See, there's a script writer for the script that we're playing. But my brothers and sisters, over the ages of time, the script has had multiple places where the actors are on their own. They can wing it. They can put their own two cents worth in. They can choose what they want. We have had a balance, and the ratio has changed from time to time. There were times it was 50-50, and then there were times when things weren't going so well that Mother upped the ratio of what is in the script versus the free will of the actors. But it's called inevitability and manifestation. So there was inevitability, meaning what is written in the script and that should be played as part of the play, and then there's manifestation. So the inevitability, what has been a very large issue here recently, is that the inevitability has a director, and the director was coming from the wrong place. The director was coming from Mother's left brain. And so the director shouldn't be from the left brain, because the left brain, quite frankly, was not designing a very pleasurable experience of life. The director for the large picture, for the script of the stage play of life, needs to come from the heart. In one of our previous shows, we spoke about the fact that some things were reversed. There was a reversal of roles between mother and father. Mother should have held the big picture, because that's what the feminine does. It's inclusive. Father should have gone into the screen amongst these children, because that is where the details are gotten, which the masculine is separative. It separates the strands of the weaving. So it is not, the director of the big picture should never have been mother's left brain, and these should have and should never have been. Please understand that every single thing that mother has done is perfect. It's only from today's vision that we can say it shouldn't have been. And I'll explain that a little bit, because my brothers and sisters, looking back over your life, you just cringe at the foolish things you did. You know, how could I have thrown my affections at this unworthy person? Or how could I have hung in there so long when this person was so dysfunctional? But you go, how could I have done that? That's because you're looking at it from today's wisdom. But you got today's wisdom by making those mistakes. And so ultimately, there's no such thing as a mistake. So the same with mother. So the director has been her left brain. It has written the script. But the script still had places of where inevitability leaves room for manifestation of the individual's will. That's why we cannot say, oh, you know what, whatever I did, whatever I've been, no problem, mother made me that way, that's just the end of the story, no self-responsibility. There's been a percentage of that, but the rest is up to us. And it takes absolute discipline, my brothers and sisters, to train the mind to relinquish, to let go, and to be still. There are many times in the work that mother gives me that total panic wells up in me. Oh my gosh, how in the world am I going to do this? Because she keeps stretching my abilities. And so there are times I feel very, very stretched. But at the end of the day, it always is perfect. And if I just let go and let go. But I've got to fight the panic down. I've got to say, be still and know that I am God. Each of us has the source of divinity within us. The words, "be still and know that I am God," is actually from the scriptures, but it's a good one to say when those doubts come up. Be still. I am connected to Source. I am therefore the divine, and I command you, be still. My brothers and sisters, I fight down panic a lot, but I won't let it get a foothold. I don't sit there and give it my ear and indulge it, because every step that I take is according to the highest choice that I currently can make, which is impeccability, and that's my shield. As long as I step to the highest vision I have today, I don't have tomorrow's vision today. As long as I do, all things work together for good for one who lives their highest truth in every moment. So Mother's director is now the heart. So for sure, the stage play is going to change. Let's have a break and we'll be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back, and we're really happy to have you with us. We hope that you tell your friends if the hours we spend together, my beloved family, is a positive experience. It makes us very glad when we're doing something that's of worth to you and our listenership grows. So, Rogier, what else did you want to talk about, or did I answer all that you asked?
Yes, you did, but there was one more thing, because we discussed the left brain and illusion and the father and that which is not and the left brain director. And there was actually one more thing which I was actually saying to you this morning before the radio that I didn't know. I was wondering about this thing of striving from A to B, where you have certain plans and you want to implement them and you sort of are... the point was, I was thinking, doesn't that create this linearity, which then creates illusion? And then you said that that wasn't necessarily the case, but I thought you could run that by me and the listeners.
You're quite right. That's a very, very good idea. My brothers and sisters, we had, right prior to the show, we had a discussion, and Rogier is today very, very expanded into the larger identity, or if you will. And so he was saying to me, you know, how does one reconcile this? Because the work that he does, and he puts in really long, hard hours, not hard, but he loves what he does, but they're just long. And there's the goal-oriented. because there's specific outcomes that you want from taking step 1, 2, 3, and 4, etc. So he was asking, how do you reconcile this? Because if you are outcome-oriented, but you have to have goals when you're in your work, it could pull you out of this expansion and bliss that he's in today. So the point is this. It is fine to be in a goal-oriented work where certain specific things have to be achieved, because you see what you wish to achieve, and it's the making of a mold, like something you would create a pudding in and put it in the mold, and when you unmold it, this beautiful shape is there. You have to have the shape of that which you see coming and that which you wish to do. So up ahead, there's that. There's this goal that you're working towards. So you define the goal. But then, having defined the steps between where you are and fulfilling the potential of that goal, you then focus on the moment. I used to walk a lot in Africa barefoot. And where we lived, there were 42 species of poisonous snakes. Can you believe that? I mean, here I live on the Oregon coast. There's not one species of poisonous snakes, and there are rattlesnakes in eastern Oregon. But there were 42 species of poisonous snakes. And yet, you know, I just couldn't keep my shoes on, and so I always walked barefoot. But you look where you're going ahead in the path, because especially some of the snakes like puff adders, they had the very bad habit for me of sitting and sunning themselves in, not in the grass, but in the open path. And they roll themselves up and they've got markings on them and they just look like a rock up ahead in your path. So you want to look ahead, but then you've got to watch where you step every step of the way. You know, we also have scorpions, huge big scorpions that really sting you, and little ones that are even worse. So the point is that you want to watch each step you take, but you also want to see 3 feet to 4 feet ahead, so you have time to respond. So you look ahead, then you step, then you look ahead, then you step, or you look ahead and you step a couple of steps, and so on. So my brothers and sisters, that's the way we work. We've set our goal, we know where we're going, now we focus on the moment. In a place of total timelessness. And it doesn't necessarily mean, because your work is linear, that it pulls you out. What means that it's linear and can pull you out of that expansion is when you only think with one mind. Let me give you an example. We have said that the large mind, the expanded mind, is the vision holder. It's the feminine aspect of mind, if you will. So it's the vision holder. If your vision is held of your whole life, work gets put into perspective. If it's a day that you're with your family, take time to experience them fully through the heart. There is no place that boredom can creep in when you are experiencing through the heart, my brothers and sisters. I used to train men's workshops here at the house in Oregon, and I used to tell them, you take a square foot of lawn, and you sit there for several hours, and you observe. Layers and layers upon of insect life. Right down at the root, there's a whole other layer of insect life. Where this grass comes out of the ground, whole other layer. Up in the top of the grass, whole other layer. Watch the interaction of these layers. But people walk mindlessly by a bush that is aflame with the glory of the infinite in its beautiful blossoms and hardly even see it because they are so steeped in mind. When you are with your family, know that this is your life. When you are by yourself, know that that's even more your life. The doingness of your work, it's just a dance you're doing with life. It's not your life. Then you give your full awareness to the moments, whether it's with your doingness or it's with your family. But hold your vision or you could start to identify with your doingness instead of knowing it's just a role you play on the stage. Does that answer that?
Yeah, I was sort of trying to, just glancing at my sheet and wondering how I was going to weave the remaining questions that I have to this topic, because they're kind of entirely unrelated, actually.
Oh, hey, let's just live a little. We'll just dance around. Don't worry about it. We're possibly going to go on break in about 3-4 minutes. In fact, like 3 minutes, so a short one is good.
Okay, well, this is one question here, namely, what is your most important book?
Oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, it's hard to say to the feet that you're more important than the head or the heart, because they do fit together. I can tell you that the most fun to write for me was Secrets of the Hidden Realms. But one of the most amazing books to write, because I was constantly going, unbelievable, how magnificent, how extraordinary, was the translating of the records from the libraries of Isis, which I translated one set of plates and a small bit from another, and it became Opening the Doors of Heaven. I was constantly just taken aback at the exquisite beauty and the revelations that came through. However, the pivot point of my books is the book The Ring of Truth, simply because it bridges the way things were and the way things became, and its laws have been very pertinent. And also it has within it for the first time the Bhavasvata healing modality. And the importance of that healing modality is that every time a practitioner uses it, the divine sigils that Mother has given, that moves up as awareness in the cosmos moves up, is in fact tying us to large fields of existence. So when we're healing somebody or ourselves, it heals everything out there. And so, so that book possibly is the most profound, judging even by how much tampering we had with it. That book I had to write a second edition for, so folks should be really sure when they order that they get a second edition, because of the fact that I had to totally rewrite it. Large pieces were left out. So, you know, that's just something I wanted to bring up. The Life of Miracles book is beautiful in that it shows the beginnings of the journey, and it has this wonderment in it. It's got magic of its own. It's the wonderment of life and the awakening of somebody into mastery. So it has this beautiful innocence with it. Journey to the Heart of God starts to give an indication, quite a strong indication, to the profound role that humankind plays as the microcosm, because we've been made to feel less than, unworthy, etc., by beings that have wanted to suppress us because they knew we were the pivot point. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
The last question I have for today is some topic really completely different to what we've done before, but it's a question that just came in, and it's inquiring as to the relation between ISIS and the Templars.
Oh, very, very interesting. The Templars became something different, at least what was left of them. They became, in one instance, the Rosicrucians, and in the other instance, they have a connection to the Freemasons as well. You know, I could at some point go in and really carefully go through what, you know, how those branches worked. But I know that they are connected to the Templars. The Templars guarded a holy bloodline. Now, there has been a lot of work done recently on establishing that that bloodline is part of the Christed bloodline. And, you know, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, various many books have been written on that that I'm just sort of aware of. I personally haven't read books for about 10 years now, maybe 8 years, just because the information is pouring so much each day that it's all I can do to write it. However, the bloodline is far older than 2,000 years old. The bloodline actually goes back all the way to Isis's bloodline. And in the book of Isis, there is a secret. It's one of the two little secrets in my books that are hidden. The other one is, again, talking about Isis in the area of the Expla Vitpata material in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. But these two little secrets are kind of buried in there. But Isis was not just some mythical character or one of the Anunnaki, you know, that tried to do some good things. She was far, far, far more than that. And Isis's bloodline was very, very important to her because it had programmed within its DNA codes the codes of government. And this bloodline needed to be protected. And so there were groups established that go as far back as Isis's time, which, you know, I would have to guess now how far back Isis lived continuously on the planet, but I can't, because the point is she lived continuously on the planet until very recently, but she's not where we can see her.
And where would you say then in the time of the Anunnaki ruling families?
Okay, in the time of the Anunnaki ruling families, and understand that Isis remained in body as the last of her kind, several thousand years, well, more than several, many thousand years, after every one of the Anunnaki died out and left or interbred and the lineages were gone. She was the last one left. Thos could not incarnate because he was really too illusion-based. You have to earn the right to live in physicality. Neither could Enki. Enlil had already departed. Many of her family had already departed. And finally, only she was left. The codes of government were programmed into this lineage. The Christ happened to come into the lineage. But it's not that lineage that they were protecting, yet it was. You can see what I'm saying. So the let's look at all the things that were in that lineage. Specific coding in the DNA was placed in that lineage. That's why that lineage only married within certain other lineages. Even later, when the secrets were lost, there was a very direct knowingness that this is a suitable family to marry into, this is not a suitable family. It became an elitist family so as to preserve the governmental codes. There was another half of the governmental codes, and it was kept by the father himself. It was only in the last months of 2007 that these two sets of codes were put together, and the fathers had to be upgraded because it was governmental codes that he had kept from a very long time ago. But they were upgraded, so were the codes and the DNA that came in. They were put together, and Mother actually put them in Father's scepter. Because in the role of Mother and Father, in her scepter, there's different codes because she is the governing force. He is the implementation of the governing force. He is the administration force. He administers government to the cosmos. Mother, now in the proper role of vision keeper, of large picture holder, does in fact hold the big vision of governing, and she pulls in new probabilities, new potential out of her own being, so that she provides that fresh water stream that comes into the pond that makes sure that that water doesn't get stagnant. So, you know, they try to put these lineages on thrones, like the Merovingian kings. I don't know if it's Merovingian or Vingian, but those kings were part of this. Some of the royal family right now have those bloodlines. My own family has that bloodline. And so, you know, but ultimately, at the end of the day, it's Isis's bloodline.
Well, so, but I mean, I think also the question would be then, because we cannot, well, it certainly wouldn't seem to be the case that these institutions or these societies, I mean, we're always upholding this kind of ideal placed by Isis. I mean, would we say that?
Exactly. No, you're quite right, Ruhir. And the reason why is the massive interference that has come in from the gods that represented illusion and goddesses that represented illusion since she did that. Mother had to totally replace much of what she had saved through the ages, unless they were in the sacred libraries. And even then, we have had a set of peacock libraries in India that had to be totally dissolved because they had been corrupted. Multiple libraries had to be cleansed because they were infiltrated. There was libraries, I think it might have been of the musk ox or something, but I don't remember the exact name, but it was up in Pakistan that had to be totally dissolved. And there was a library of the Blue Nile in Ethiopia. They knew there was something in Ethiopia. And there certainly was. I mean, the Ark of the Covenant was there for a while and so on. The Ark of the Covenant is a wonderful object in that it is, you know, of such precious value to many, many soul groups on the planet, but it's not that powerful of an object. However, they wanted that. And so there were libraries in Ethiopia. There was a plant in Ethiopia that was guarded by guardians that gave immortality, some sort of a mushroom. It looked kind of like, a pope's hat that has the point. It kind of looks like that.
Let's see, what's that called again? No,
well,
I don't know.
You know, some sort of analogy comes to mind here, but I don't want to make this into a Rorschach test. But it's like this long, elongated, and with the head on top. You know, so anyway, so that's what the mushroom looks like. And it was guarded by Ethiopian guardians. The libraries there were infiltrated. And Mother recently, and it's also in Ethiopia where the headwaters of the Blue Nile starts. They were called the Blue Nile Libraries in Ethiopia. And Mother had to do away with them because they were that corrupted. So, you know, there were just simply things that didn't last as the way that Isis foresaw it. Part of it was that Isis was betrayed, this is a very little known fact, by Osiris. She asked him to watch the White Horse libraries, and he turned the keys of it over to his family. And Thoth and Enki went in there and was able to see things that were going to be done in the future because of a device that's in the White Horse Libraries that can see between the cycles of life. And they were able to prevent it and to tamper with it and to interfere. I think we've come to the end of our show today, and just thank you again for being with us, and we'll see you again next week.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From his background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the interrelationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almeen. Please join us again next week.